Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome back to another podcast episode from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It's great to have you joining with us again. I'm Neil Harrison and I'm your host for this episode. This week's podcast acknowledges that the development of online services makes it easier for unreached people to go to church. And yet we know that the experience and expression of church is one that is corporate. In this episode, we want to explore how, in the midst of restrictions, do we go about building relationships with people outside of church in ways that draw them into the community of the church. To do that, I'm delighted to be joined by the Reverend Lachlan Webster, Minister of Craigavon Presbyterian, and Roberta Irvine, Deaconess in Greystone Road Congregation in Antrim. Thanks to both of you for being willing to be part of this conversation today. In starting our conversation, it's always good to introduce ourselves. So please tell us a bit about yourself, the congregation that you're part of, how you serve there. Lachlan.
Thanks, Neil. I'm Lachlan Webster. I'm originally from a wee place called Broughty Ferry beside Dundee on the east coast of Scotland. Moved over to Northern Ireland 16 years ago. Married Deborah 15 years ago. We were blessed with two wonderful nightmares in the house, Freya, who's 10, and Lewis, who's 8. They keep us on our toes. And since 7 years ago next month, I will be the minister of Craigavon Presbyterian Church. Craigavon is midway between Lurgan and Portadown, but don't hold that against us. It's an urban mission congregation. That means it works underneath the Council for Mission Ireland, which is a huge blessing. We're supported essentially by the wider denomination. So whenever people give towards their United Appeal, some of that helps our work in Craigavon. And we're so grateful for that. We have seen revitalization going on over the past 7 years and seen God's blessing with a steady trickle of people coming to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour and coming to be part of our church family. So it's a great place to be.
Great. Thanks, Lachlan. Roberta.
Hi. As you said, I'm a deaconess who is serving in Greystone Road in Antrim. Antrim's a town of 21,000 people. So there's no shame in saying, really, that Greystone Road is really third Antrim, because Antrim can support three Presbyterian churches and there's still a vast mission field before us. We're currently vacant. So if I could put an advertisement in to say, God could be calling you to Greystone Road. Pre-COVID, I would say that my service has been one of assisting, where directed or where needed. So it's quite traditional in its practice and its scope.
So, Roberta, you've touched on pre-pandemic thoughts there. So maybe just share with us where and how you would have found yourself connecting with those outside the congregation on a regular basis before COVID.
Before COVID, weekly, we would have run a parent and toddlers group, which I would have assisted at, and then a pop-up cafe. And then twice a month, we ran a community group for seniors. The community group pre-COVID was the largest community group that wasn't youth-based in the borough. We explained to the council that that was because of Jesus. I'm not quite sure they understood that answer. But we were blessed to have so many people come through our doors twice a month.
And Lachlan, what about yourself pre-pandemic? Where would you have been connecting with those outside the congregation?
Pre-pandemic, personally, I spent an awful lot of time in coffee shops. Other ministers looking on would have been horrified, thinking I wasn't doing a job. But I genuinely was. Really, in Craigavon, at the heart of the community's Rushmere Shopping Centre, and then also the Craigavon Lakes, which are gorgeous, by the way. But I would have spent quite a bit of time at both. I didn't work in the study. I've been forced into a study here because of the pandemic, but I worked out of coffee shops. People would have known where they could find me and the ones around Rushmere. And I kind of leaned heavily on what some might describe as the ministry of divine appointments, really praying, Lord, bring people across my path here and get myself out there and being open and sort of exposed to meeting anyone and everyone. And that really worked in this community and in this area, both Walking around the shopping centre, or people coming over for a coffee, or walking around the lakes and getting conversations, and trying as often as possible to then offer prayer on the back of that and just kind of see what the Spirit had in store with that.
Okay, and I guess over the past year, many of those relational spaces have been lost. I mean, certainly the coffee shops, Lachlan, have been impacted significantly over the past year. And yet alongside that, new opportunities have been emerging. One of those that's often been mentioned is the wider door to the community that churches now have through their online services. And I guess whilst any engagement with those outside of church is encouraging, what concerns do you have if that connection remains at a distance, Lachlan?
I think fundamentally we're created in God's image as relational people. So connection is absolutely vital. And I think that's why we've all found it so hard over this past year, not having these connections and that close support and being able to lean on each other. So normally connection at a distance is okay at the start of a relationship, but it's not healthy if a relationship keeps on going down that path and we're separated from individuals in that way. So it's a gift from God in a sense, digitally connecting with people in that way. But fundamentally, it's not a healthy family if we remain that way. I kind of think about it, if you've a member of your family who's locked outside and watching the rest of the family eating from the garden, I'm looking through the kitchen window, they're not really part of that family. And we're relational beings. We're a family. We're a body. We're meant to interact and work together, led by the Spirit for God's glory in our community. So we want people in. We want people working together, and we want people serving and being served.
And Roberta, have you any thoughts on that?
Yes, thank you, Lachlan, for saying that, because deaconesses are really called to serve face-to-face with people. So COVID has really changed and the whole economy of our transactions, because the supply and demand of our service has changed so much. I'm out in the country this morning, so the parables, especially those related to the country, really shaped my thinking. We had a workman here a few days ago outside, and it just reminds me that in all trades and in all professions and in all ways, it's the wise person who knows what to look for. So we're going to have to become adept at knowing, you know, what to look for online and seeing where the spiritual appetite lies, which is what Lachlan is really good at. Whereas all I can bring as a deaconess is just a careful attentiveness to what I have and what lies before and around me. So deaconesses have brought that careful attentiveness, and we've tried, but like 2 Corinthians 9 tells us, to sow in as generously in whatever way we can around us.
Thanks very much. I think you both have really touched on what all of us are thinking and missing, I guess, in that relational contact with others and the importance of that. And I think that most people are much more aware of that now. And I know that both of you have been seeking to connect with people in meaningful ways over the past year. So Lachlan, in what ways are you seeing new people engaging with your church, maybe digitally? And what have you been doing to try to increase both your reach and your engagement with them?
Historically, Neil, we tried over this past 7 years to put as much content up on Facebook as we possibly could, really to give people a window into what was going on within our church family. The one thing, though, that I never put online was the services and the sermons. I was always conscious I could do enough damage with 140 folk in front of me, never mind putting that out onto the internet potentially to everyone. But our hand was forced with that a year ago. We had no choice but to start putting that online. And actually, from the point of view of reaching out to our local community, that's been one of the best things, because prior to that, they were given a glimpse of part of what was going on in our church family from the outside. They saw the buns, the cakes, the soup lunches, the groups of people, the carefully set photographs and things like that. And they saw a lot of activity. They saw the occasional Bible verse or little kind of missional video. But actually, they've been able to see the heart of what we do now, which is to worship God and to feed off his word. So that our hand was forced with that, but that's been a blessing. There's people from all different backgrounds who've been exposed to that. And we've seen a steady number of people, not big numbers, but a steady number of folks from within our local community consistently watching on Sundays. One of the blessings of Facebook over YouTube is you can keep a bit of a closer eye on who's watching. And there was one Sunday at the last lockdown, after our church services, most people would have stayed behind for tea and coffee for a good hour. It was a challenge to get people out of the place. But I was really grieving not having that, because that was an amazing time for getting to know new people and providing pastoral support. And I was getting quite down about it, quite frustrated. And then just the penny dropped. I know a lot of the folk who are on Facebook, both our church family members, their names ping up, and folk within the community, their names ping up, and they might like or they might comment. I thought, I can follow that up immediately after the service or in the days after the service. So I got into a habit of taking a note on the Sunday, or getting someone else, if I was up front, taking a note of who was there, and then trying to follow that up, often through Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp, if I had a connection there, just getting a bit of chat with them like you would over tea and coffee. How's it going? Hope you're keeping all right. And really trying to get back to the question of, is there anything we can pray for you? And so often there would be, and doors opened consistently with that. It wasn't difficult. It was catching fish in a barrel in that sense. And people were isolated. They were lonely at home. They were quite happy to build up a connection and a conversation there digitally that they could drop easily at any point if they wanted to. But many of them have kept that going. So that's been really encouraging. The other thing that we did, that we actually did this before COVID, but we've done it again and it's been a blessing too, was using Facebook marketing, putting up an advert. You only need to spend £20 or so, and you can limit the reach of that advert. So we had posted a lovely picture simply with a question, what can we pray for you, on it, and a wee note in the section saying that these will be treated confidentially. But we'd spend £20, have a 5-day campaign on that, set it within a 5 or 6 kilometre radius of our building, and you get a great response from that. You get some absolute crackpots and some crazy prayer requests, but some really good ones that we've been able to kind of follow up on and support people through longer term hospital treatments, bereavement, all sorts of things like that. So it's not difficult, it's not expensive, and it's a lovely way of maintaining and building new connections digitally that possibly we would have overlooked prior to being forced into this situation.
That's great, Lachlan. Thanks very much for sharing that. Roberta, I'm sure Greystone Road have also experienced a broader digital reach, but can you share something of how you have sought to connect with those in the wider community in practical ways?
We really give consideration to the vacuum in people's lives. So straight out of the trap at lockdown, we sent out puzzle sheets with questions threaded through them about what really is your faith in this lockdown season. Those puzzle sheets really only reached those for whom we had the email addresses, and also really only had 2 unchurched people on the list. But it bought us time to write activity packs. We've sent out 3 activity packs during COVID to every member of our community group, to those who are traditionally shut in, and to those who claim connection to our church. I suppose the packs are really student-centred learning at its most idiosyncratic, in that they were shaped by the issues and the questions that arose whenever I was on systematic phone calls. So I've likened them a bit to a flat pack furniture box, where you open it up and think, is that it? But you have to think that they were in direct answer to people's questions. And for example, when we were writing about prayer, we were sending these packs to Roman Catholics. So we had to explain in a very simple way why we pray in Jesus' name and not Mary. So we have sent out 3 packs The first two were really a strange mixture of spiritual formation and mental health activities. And then the third one has been solely about prayer. And that was in response to a quote I had in one of my journals, which I could share if you don't mind. And that is, John Ortberg said that desperate people pray, even when they're not sure who they're praying to. Soldiers in foxholes pray. People with sick loved ones pray. When we reach the limit of our resources, we instinctively and reflexively pray, which is really the encouragement that Lachlan is giving, that he is praying for people who understand now in desperate times that they require prayer.
And I guess in terms of the relational connection there, Roberta, a lot of that is via the systematic phone calls. So what's your pattern of working through that?
I have a list of the 301 families in the congregation, and I just go down those 301 families one by one. I have a list of about the 20 regulars that attend our cafe. I go down that, and then I have a list, a smaller list from the community group.
I guess above all, what we're really saying here is that communication is a two-way thing, and if our only input into the wider community is a digital service or a post on Facebook, then how do we start getting the two-way level of communication that is about a relationship being built? So it's really great to hear, Lachlan, how you're doing that, and Roberta, how you're doing that in different ways. How have you tried to reach out personally to new people in ways that build relationship and connect them with the community of the church? And are you able to share any examples of this, Roberta?
Well, as I've said, the bulk of my work is systematic phone calls. We've also started a prayer chain during COVID, a ladies' prayer chain, and just connecting a variety of women who have expressed interest to pray with one another. And there's been a surprising amount of people who have never prayed with anyone before, and they've never met the people with whom they're praying. So that's going to be a special meetup whenever we can meet up at church. And just trying to extend those relationships, as you've said, and as Lachlan has explained.
Yeah, I think in a sense, once you make the initial contact with a person and you try and build the relationship digitally, we've actually been able to do the next step that we would normally do even without lockdown, which would be bringing people in and encouraging them to take part in the likes of Christianity Explored or Discipleship Explored, or recently we've just run the Community Bible Experience. And all these things, with a bit of tweaking, lend themselves really well to Zoom or MS Teams or whatever. If anything, I'll be honest with you, I find it easier leading in that way, and I find folk from our own community happier in joining because they're maybe a wee bit unsure about getting to a building, or maybe because of childcare, it's not so much of an option. But coming online and taking part in a course that you don't know much about, but you know you can hit the red button and leave at any time, gives people a confidence. And we've been really blessed throughout the lockdowns that we've had and running these courses. We're about to start a Christianity Explored course after Easter on Zoom, and we're praying in confidence that God will be continuing to work with some of the links that we've made and bringing them into that. So that gives opportunities for discipleship there, for relating to others, for getting to know myself and other members of the church family, and hopefully makes the step into the church family at a later date quite an easy one, because they already feel like they're known and they're loved. The other thing, a wee bit like what Roberta has said, is in a pastoral care sense, building links with people through, they have their prayer chain. We have a prayer WhatsApp group. We've had this for the past 6 years or so, and it's really right at the heart of Craigavon Presbyterian Church. What we do is we encourage people to ask friends, family members, colleagues, if they're going through difficult times, would they like prayer, explaining that it can be done in a confidential way. And then they can share these prayer messages with myself or a couple of others, and we then can send them out on the group. Now, it's a broadcast-only group, so you don't get a million gifts and thumbs up. And the wonderful thing with that is then it engages the church family in pastoral care of others as well, and they're also using it really missionally. Our people love that. They love offering prayer to others, and they love the response when their friends say to them, "Oh, you folk in your church that were praying for me." That opens doors. That makes it easier to invite people along and say, "Well, why not come to the church? Or at the moment, why not watch online?" And then the other thing we can do with that is we can keep track of what prayers we've been praying. We can send out updates. We can respond to them pastorally, and we can celebrate answered prayer. And then other wee things happen out of that. Members of the church family will contact me and say, "Oh, see that person who's going through a tough time that we were praying for. I've a few extra pounds this month. Could we pass that on to them?" And there's ways that people have been able to help others without knowing who they're helping or who their help has been received from, and doing that all in Jesus' name. So the opportunities are great.
Great, Lachlan. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now that churches in the north are beginning to meet for services again physically, do you have a sense that the new people that you've connected with over lockdown are interested in exchanging their couch for a pew? Or might there be other smaller steps in that direction that you can suggest?
I think every minister, if they were honest, but they're probably not, are fearful about going back. And in our weakness, we're constantly thinking we've dropped the ball here, we've let the side down, we'll go back to nothing. But it's remembering that God's in control with that. So I think the key thing is smothering it all in prayer. We're not back yet. By the time this comes out, I think we'll have been back hopefully a couple of weeks from Easter Sunday. I'm nervous, I'm apprehensive, but I'm leaning on God, and I'm praying like fury that he'll bring our folks back. And I'm also praying for these connections. Now, some of them, I don't think it will be a case of coming straight on in. I think it's a long game, but that's another thing I've kind of learned in my time here in Craigavon, that there's connections I made in coffee shops 7 years ago that are only starting to come to a bit of fruition just now. So we're in it for the long game. It's in God's time, and the Holy Spirit's at work. We need to show up and play our part and trust him in it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Lachlan. Roberta, any thoughts in that one?
Yeah, we just don't know. In our last limited seating, we had some people who came to the services. But if I could share a story that always encourages me from parent and toddler scripts, in that in parent and toddler circles, there's a well-known story of a church in England who were running a parent and toddlers in a hall with a leaky roof, and the numbers were small, and they were just so discouraged. So they prayed and reflected, and they set a paddling pool high up underneath the leak and filled it with water and with yellow rubber ducks. And from that, renamed it Little Ducklings, Parent and Toddlers, and the numbers grew. And I like that. I like the fact that they used whatever they had to hand, and they prayed and God used it. And that's all we can offer. We just give our small things to God in prayer and hope that he uses them.
Folks, thank you so much for sharing all of those insights of how we can, in small ways but yet significant ways, cultivate and nurture a sense of relationship and a sense of belonging in the lives of those who are very much outside of the church family. I think that's really helpful, and thank you for sharing that with us. Just as we close off this podcast, we always ask our guests to share a verse or a passage of scripture that's particularly spoken to you. Roberta, will you start?
Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, "No one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This verse has gripped me so much that I have cogged up an old plough outside, and I visit the verse and the plough daily. And it's that sense, Neil, that so many of our ancestors in Ireland must have come in with tired eyes and tired minds and tired bodies from ploughing new ground where there were stones and they didn't know the lie of the land. And to them, God says, "I'm the God of the plough." I've been thinking about looking back. If we look back pre-COVID, our steering will be jerky. Our reactions will be jerky. Our work will suffer. And God says, I'm the God of the plough. Look up and look to me.
That's very helpful, Roberta. Thank you for sharing that. Lachlan?
Yeah, my verse came to me about a year and a couple of days ago. I had, without going into all the details, I had an accident and broke my ankle just at the start of lockdown. And when I got home from hospital with a plaster on, this verse popped up on my phone as a verse for today from 2 Corinthians. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God had a sense of humour. I was pretty depressed. I was pretty down. And I needed to hear that over this past year, not in any major way, but I've had one or two other sort of minor health issues. And just, I suppose it's turning 40 is the problem, but just conscious of my own weakness more than ever from a leadership sense. You can't really plan ahead or anything. I feel really weak and incompetent with that too. All sorts of issues I'd love to sort out, but I can't at all. But then pulled back to that verse, who's actually strong? Who's actually in control? God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I have bucket loads of weakness to offer. Thankfully, his grace is sufficient for me in that. And in that sense, I'm trusting in his power and his spirit to work in a marvellous way in Craigavon.
Thank you so much, Lachlan, for sharing that. And for both of you, I guess, just finishing off with that reminder that God is faithful and that we can look to him and trust in his goodness and in his power and his grace for all that lies ahead. Thank you both for joining our podcast today and for sharing your insights and experience. I'm sure our listeners will find that really helpful for how they are finding things within their own context. Before we finish today, let me draw your attention to some resources and opportunities you might find useful at this time. Due to widespread engagement with presbyteries during May, there will be a limited number of online webinars and digital conversations scheduled, but keep an eye on the PCI events page for those resuming in June. There are a range of blogs and resources on various aspects of congregational life and witness that can be accessed and ordered or downloaded via the PCI website. One resource launched recently is called Sinking. This is a church-wide evangelistic initiative around a short video clip that seeks to reach across the ongoing barrier of social distancing to gently prompt others to reflect on what is going on in their souls and to consider that the Christian message might have something to offer after all. The challenge to congregations and their members is to take this simple clip and find ways of creatively and courageously sharing it with others. Ideas on how to do this are included on the PCI website at www.presbyterianireland.org/sinking. But that's all for this episode, and we hope that you will join us next time as we consider what it looks like to begin rebuilding community life in our congregations. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.